I like all them kids. Look at Matthew chapter 7. We know it as the Sermon on the Mount. There is no piece of literature ever written that's had a greater effect on earth than these three chapters, 5 through 7 of Matthew. It makes Matthew probably the most important literature ever written, the book of Matthew, just because of these three chapters, affected the whole world. Now for thousands of years, it's affected the whole world, and people won't give Christ the credit for it. Quite often, they'll think it's just, you know, human nature for us to know things like this, but no, this was Christ's knowledge that he gave us. Amen. You would do well to read it and understand it and observe it. That's what Jesus said. Teach all nations to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. It makes a difference in your life. I'm going to read the very end of this. It's Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 24. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Great was the fall of it. This is how Jesus concluded these amazing teachings that he had that were so astonishing. And he concluded it by saying, "My way is better." That's what he's saying. He's saying, "My way is better. If you listen to what I'm telling you, your life is going to be better. Amen. Your life is going to flourish. Your life is going to survive." There are several points here that need to be made, and I will point out the things that he taught, and I want you to understand, because if you can decide that you're going to build your life upon the things that Christ taught us, it'll make a difference in your life. It'll make the difference between salvation and damnation. It'll make the difference in your life if you'll listen to Christ. He's claiming that his way is better. Amen. His way is better than your way. His better way is better. His way is better than the natural way you think. His way is better than Karl Marx's way.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. 4 points I'm going to make. We all must build our life.
Amen.
Nobody else can do it for you. Number two, life takes a beating. That's what he says here. Life's going to take a beating. Don't expect it to all be a rose garden, right? Number three, flourishing and surviving is the goal. That's the goal of your life, to flourish and to survive. What is your goal in life? Number four, our foundational beliefs make the difference. It's what you're building your life on that makes the difference.
Amen.
Wish you'd turn that phone off. It's terrible to be so popular they call you in church, huh? I got that figured out. Nobody calls me in church. I'm just not that popular anyway. All right. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, I ask you to bless us. We cannot reach the heart. We can speak your words. We can repeat what you've taught us. But we cannot reach the heart of people who have been blinded by this world or even by their own decisions in life. But you can, God, you can right now open up the clouds and just show yourself to them. And I ask you to do that, that our words would not be in vain, that you'd touch a soul. And that you'd bless us in our plans and in our decisions, God, what we're trying to do. We depend upon you and we put it all on your strength. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Number one, Jesus is saying, you're going to have to build your life. You're going to have to build your life. Nobody else is going to live your life for you. I know especially if you're children, and I want all you grandchildren that were up here singing, I want you to pay attention. I want you to notice you're going to have to make your own decisions in life. And a lot of you other folks are thinking, well, no, decisions have been made for me. But I got news for you. You're making decisions every single day. And sometimes you're making the easy decisions. Most of the time you make the easy decisions. You go to the path of least resistance. You don't fight things too much. You want less trouble, so you take the peaceful way most of the time. That's the way we are. But that's not always the best way. You have to build your life. Sometimes what is now nice and easy will come out way harder later.
Yes.
If you've ever built a house, and I'm in the project of building a house right now, all of my afternoons I'm out there working on this house, I know that if I don't do it right, it's going to be more trouble later. And you know that. All of us know that. If you don't do it right, it's going to be a whole lot more work later. One of the problems we have with democracy is that we wind up electing people who have to give us what we want now, and they expect to pay for it later. I know it's just old news, but we are so far in debt. Do you know that America as a nation owes more money than we are worth? Consider it, folks. $30 trillion deficit? You can't even imagine that. I mean, 20 years ago, it was not even a tenth of that. What's going on? It's easy. People are wanting things now, and they expect somebody else to pay for it later. Our children, our grandchildren. This is happening not just in America, by the way. It's all over the world. Everybody all over the world is just going broke because they're trying to get stuff now. They're trying to figure things out now. They don't realize you got to build your life. It's got to go in order, and you got to go a little bit at a time here, and you got to do this right, and sometimes you got to do that over so that later on it'll be less trouble. So you'll have a better life. And you young people, let me tell you something. You're making decisions right now that are going to make a difference in your life later.
Amen.
You're making decisions. There are some doors that if you open them, they fall right off their hinges and you can never close them again.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you. I'll tell you, pornography is that kind of a door.
Yep.
You open the door of pornography, well, it just never closes.
Amen.
It's just always there. I'll tell you something else. Drugs is that kind of a door.
Amen.
Some of you already know this. If you open that door, you can never close it again. And I would warn you, just don't ever open that door.
Amen, amen.
Don't go down that road. I'll tell you that's about alcohol. I'll tell you that about gambling.
Yeah,
oh, there's the preacher talking about gambling again. He wants to get on me for my lottery tickets. That's right. It's just pure covetousness. Stop it. Why? Because it hurts you later. It hurts you later, and a lot of families are ruined by it.
Amen.
I read a statistic just the other day that half of the money made by state lotteries, half of the money made by state lotteries comes from people who are addicted.
Wow.
That is, they buy lottery tickets instead of what they need. Now you stop and think about what that makes our state. A predator. The state of Texas is a predator for selling lottery tickets. That'll probably get me canceled. But it's true nonetheless. And if you like lottery tickets, I feel for you. I really do feel for you. If you're stuck on that, because this is a bad thing. You open some doors. Gambling is one of those doors. There's a whole bunch more, by the way. There's all kinds of things. Hatred. That's one of those doors. You get hate. You start doing something. Oh, my goodness. You take vengeance on somebody. You open the door. You can't close that door. It becomes almost impossible to get that stuff taken care of. What if you do something that you can't undo? There's an awful lot of things you do you can't undo. You're building your life. Do you not realize that the things that you're doing right now become part of the building that you've built? Whatever you do right now, it becomes part of it. It's built right into your life. It's there, and it's there forever. You might destroy all the pictures, but it's still there.
Amen.
Yeah. Even if you get rid of every little bit of evidence, I mean, you can wash your phone or bleach bit it. You can do anything you want to do. Get rid of it. But God knows.
Yeah.
And you know, you cannot erase. You're building your life. Do you realize you're building your life and it's you that's doing it? You're the one that's making the decisions. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame the government. You can't blame me. You can't blame the preacher. You can't blame, Putin. There's nobody else to blame. It's you. You're making your decisions. You made the decision this morning. You made decisions last night. You made a decision, and that becomes part of your life. It's one of the bricks you laid in your life. It's there. It's built. It's done. What are you going to have to do? You might have to knock that whole wall down. You're building. Right now, you're building. Every day you make a decision, you're building. Sometimes it's good. I was having a conversation with Deb just the other day. I said, sometimes we just got to make decisions, not in the heat of the moment, but a long time ago, and then we just go with the decision we made when it wasn't the heat of the moment. Because if you wait till the moment to make the decision, well, you'll go by your feelings. You might not feel like it today. But if you make a decision, like me, man, I don't decide every Sunday morning to come to church. That's a decision been made long ago, man. Sunday morning, that's church time. That's what I do at church. I don't know why some people have to make the decision every Sunday morning. I just made it one time, long time ago, and that's what's been the way ever since. It doesn't matter if I feel good. It doesn't matter if I'm tired or how hard I worked. It doesn't matter because it's a decision that's been made. And you build up your life on these decisions that you make. And it becomes the part of your whole soul, your whole building, your whole life is built up by these decisions you're making. This is what happens. All you children are going to be making decisions. I know right now you don't get to make decisions. Somebody else, well, in most families, maybe not. But if you have a family that's raised the way my family was raised, the way I was raised, I didn't get to make a lot of decisions. I was just told what I was doing. We were watching a movie. Deb's not in the room, so she can't help me out on this. But we were watching a movie, and this guy was trying to talk this little kid into coming with him to save his life. He's trying to say, okay, now listen, child, we have this danger. This is a very dangerous situation. If we stay here, we're going to get whatever. And I'm thinking, you idiot, pick the kid up and let's go. You don't have to talk the kid into anything. Kid can't make any decision. And what is he going to do? If he makes the wrong decision, what are you going to do? You're going to pick him up and carry him off. Amen. You don't let kids make those kinds of decisions. So I know, kids, right now you feel like I don't get to make any decisions. Well, that's true, and that's absolutely right and correct, but sooner or later, you're going to make decisions. And the Bible says even a child is known by his doings. Amen. Whether it be pure, whether it be right, even a child's going to be known by the decisions that child makes. So what Jesus is trying to tell you is your life is like building a house. And so you're building it, right? You're building your house, and most of us want a nice house, right? Most of us want a decent house. I mean, you put a foundation, you build some walls, you put in the electrical, you do the sheetrock, you put in an air conditioning system, you want a nice house. You put in some doors and windows, and you get it all painted up, and it's starting to look pretty nice, and you start garnishing it. You put some pictures here and your pictures there and a nice comfortable bed and all that, and you think, look what I got. I got me a nice house. Isn't that nice? That's wonderful. Well, what about your life? Don't you want that in your life? Don't you want a house in your life that's built well and that you can be comfortable around and you can just sit back and reminisce and think, wow, man, this has been a pretty good life. Do you ever reminisce about your life and think, boy, those were some good old days, weren't they? This was some good times. Well, that's the whole point of your life. You want to survive and you want it to flourish and you want it to be well built and strong and you want it not to be an eyesore. That's what you want out of your life, right? This is what Jesus is saying. This is what you want? Is this what you want? He says, my way is the better way. My way is the way to do it. Number two, life takes a beating. It's not just your life. I know you think you're the only one, but no, it's not just your life. Everybody's life takes a beating. You're going to get beat up in life. By the way, not everybody's all nice like your mom and dad.
Yep.
Some people are not interested in your welfare or your well-being. They're not trying to help you. Did you know there's scammers out there? Do you know there's people that call you up and say, listen, I was just wanting to know if you needed to, you know, to renew your car insurance or whatever. But really what they want is your social security number. And that's not for your welfare. They'll talk like it's for your good, but it's not for your good. Anybody ever get an email from a Nigerian prince's daughter? Yeah, they're saying, look, you know, I need some help. I need an American that can open a bank account for me and I can transfer millions of dollars into it and I'll give you 40%. Oh, and you have such a heart of gold. You think, oh, I think I might do that. And they're just wanting your money. They're just wanting what you've got, or they want to take a loan out in your name and take the money and then you have to pay for it. That's all. People aren't nice. The world is not nice. This world is full of pitfalls. Amen. All kinds of problems. Marriages break up. Amen. Kids die. Wars happen. Wars happen. I get an email every so often from somebody says, glory to Ukraine. Well, you know, I feel for those people in Ukraine. Wars happen. It wasn't their fault. I mean, I assume it wasn't their fault. I don't know. But let me tell you something. These things happen. This is normal stuff. The Great Depression made a real difference in a lot of people's lives. Amen. Just upended everybody. So many people were upended. My grandmother used to say, well, I never went through the Depression. She lived right through it, but her husband didn't lose his job. So she didn't feel it, but a whole bunch of people did. And it's amazing how during the Depression, we had a dust bowl. People couldn't get jobs, and then their farms blew away. This is terrible. Why? Because life takes a beating. If you're not prepared for the beating, you're not prepared. If you're building your life, you know, you think everything's been well because the last 70 years, since World War II, we have had a boom economy like never in the history of the world. We're just still living on this great bubble. And we keep expecting it to burst because, my goodness, the kinds of decisions people are making, it looks like it ought to burst. We're out on a limb, but it just keeps on going. And who knows how much farther it can go. We're like people that are driving and they're all out in the desert and they see their gas tank is getting close to empty. But they think, well, it's come this far. It could probably just keep on going. But no, it can't. Life takes a beating. Your kid might get on drugs. That will upend your life. Yeah. That will turn your life upside down. You might lose your mom. You might lose your dad. You might lose a child. That'll turn your life upside down. It'll break your heart. It'll make you emotionally unstable, perhaps for the rest of your life. It'll give you PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. It'll give it to you. It'll hurt you. Something might happen that'll just tear you up. You might have a wonderful marriage, but then all of a sudden something clicks in the head and something's wrong. How are you going to survive that? How are you going to overcome that? The Bible says the desire is to stand in the evil day because evil days are coming. I know we want to talk about the good times and we've had some pretty good times, but evil days are coming and I'm not a prophet. I don't know what's going to come. I don't know what's tomorrow. But I can tell you this. Life takes a beating. And Jesus said you got to make your life so that it can handle the beating. Amen. The rain comes. And it beats on that house. It beats it and it beats it. And the floods came and it'll just wash it away if it's not built upon the rock. If your house isn't built right, if it's not built on the rock, you lose it. And he says great is the fall of it. If you mess up your life, you've lost something.
Right.
You've hurt yourself. This is a shame. It's a crying shame when you could have built your house better and it might have survived if you'd have just done a little better job, but you didn't do a better job. You didn't listen to the wise counsel and you made your life in such a way that when something came bad, it just all fell apart. It just all fell apart. And Jesus says, that's a crying shame. That's a disaster. That's a catastrophe. That's something nobody wants to happen. Amen. You don't want your life to fall apart. You want your life to make it. You want your life to thrive. thrive. You want to flourish. Isn't that the goal? That's the goal. That's number three. Flourishing life and surviving is the goal. That's the goal of your life. Oh, you thought the goal of life was to gather a lot of toys. Didn't you? Get yourself a couple new cars. Nice cars. Yeah, man. That's what I thought when I was a kid. Man, I thought, man, I wanted a car. I wanted a nice car. I wanted a Mustang. Yeah, I wanted a Mercury Cougar. Yeah. Faster than all the others. And that's what I had. I had me that. And boy, it was fast. I could outrun them all. After 21 tickets, I sold it. That was back when you could get 21 tickets and keep your license. You had to know how. Hey, life's not about cars. Life's not about riches. Life's not about having fun. Life's not about visiting Paris. Life's not about going on cruises. Life's not about going to Sin City and having fun and leaving it all there, including your money. That's not what life's about. Did you know that life is about pleasing God and flourishing?
Amen.
By the way, did you know that God gave you the life?
Amen.
You didn't start off empty. You started off with life. You started off with all kinds of gifts that you did not do yourself. You didn't make yourself. Yeah, you didn't pull yourself up from your own bootstraps. Come on. God gave you something. And then he says, go out and use it. Do something with it, but make something good. And make your life flourishing. Why don't you make your life happy? Now, happiness is hard to define, but I'll just tell you, you can tell the difference between a happy, good life and a hard life, a difficult life. How does Paul put it? He says, the way of transgressors is hard. Oh, man, the way of transgressors is hard. What did Peter say? He said, for he that will love life and see good days. Would you love life and see good days? Is that what you want? You want to love life and see good days?
Amen.
Let him refrain his tongue from evil.
Amen.
How about stop using the F word?
Yeah.
Yeah, stop using the G word. Stop putting OMG on your texts. Why? Refrain your tongue from evil. Stop talking like that.
Amen.
Have you noticed that people have gotten more and more crass in the way they talk?
Yes.
Even women.
Yeah.
It used to be where men would be that way a little bit around other men, but women, no. But now, I'm telling you, I work with people, and I cannot believe these look like upstanding people, but the filth that comes out of their mouth. How is that? How is that? I don't get it. Refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. Stay away from evil. Just get rid of it. Get it out of your mind. Run from it. Hide from it. Avoid it. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You want God to be against you? Is this the kind of life you're hoping for? The kind of life that God is withstanding you every step of the way? Where everything goes against you? You're so proud that everybody hates you? If you were humble, people would like you? But you have to be proud so everybody hates you. Do you not realize that that's not a good life? That's not a good way of living? You're a thief. You're a liar. You can't be trusted. You don't do a good work when you work. You don't do a good job. You don't live right. You don't treat your wife right. You don't treat your children right. You show no self-control, no self-restraint, no self-discipline. You don't get up when you should get up and you don't go to work when you should go to work. And when you go to work, you don't work hard. And people say, I don't like him. And everything goes wild with you and you get fired and then you can't get a job because you can't get out of bed because you stayed up too late drinking. You don't understand how that destroys your life. What kind of life is it that you want? What is it that you're looking for? God tells you how to live. He tells you how you ought to do things. He says, my way is better.
Amen.
My way is better. Life takes a beating. And surviving is the goal. Flourishing. Having a good life. Seeing good days. That's what you're looking for. And at the end of it, being right with God. That's what you're looking for. Isn't that what you're looking for? Well, Jesus tells you how. That's what he says. Our foundational beliefs are the difference. He says, if you will listen to me, I'll tell you how to live, and your life will flourish, and you'll survive the evil day, and you'll have a relationship with God when you're done. That's how Jesus is saying. Now, you can have other options. You could be religious. Just blindly follow whatever your folks taught you to do and don't ask any questions. You can be superstitious. A whole bunch of people have been superstitious all their life. They don't listen to the Bible. They don't listen to God. They don't make good decisions based on what the Bible says and understanding what the Bible says. They don't read the Bible. They're just religious. They just follow superstition. That's what they live. That's how they live. And if that's what you want, okay, God says you've got your life. Live it. But it doesn't end well. And it doesn't survive well. And it doesn't flourish. Well, it's not a good way. Man, also there's scorners. Have you noticed there are scorners? They just mock everything. The Bible says it's like the crackling of thorns is the laughter of fools. Everything is just a mocking. Everything is just scorn. These are the most cynical people, and I've met them, I've seen them, I know them. Then there's the materialistic idea. Yeah, it's like get stuff. Well, it just gets lots of stuff, man. That's the whole idea, right? Get more stuff. Just buy stuff. Get some more stuff. I want more stuff. Then we just walk around and show each other the stuff we've got. Look at my stuff. Look at my stuff. No, I got better stuff than that. Oh, no, my stuff is better. Then we have to rent places so we can store it. Can't even pull our cars inside the garage because we got too much stuff. And that's our life. That's our life. We got stuff. And then after a while, you can't get rid of it. You have to have garage sales. And you sell it for pennies on the dollar. Or you just keep it. By the way, if you're having a garage sale, sell it for pennies on the dollar, or you're just going to put it back in the garage. Is that the way you want to live? That's your philosophy in life? Get stuff. Whoever dies with the most stuff wins. That's your philosophy? That's not a good philosophy, folks. Jesus says, my way's better.
Amen.
You know what Jesus says? Give it away.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what Jesus said. Give it away. You ought to listen to Jesus. Get rid of it. Give it away. It's worth more if you give it. By the way, it is. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's what Jesus said. More blessed to give than to receive. That's the opposite of materialism. Right? Yeah. How about hedonism? You know what hedonism is, right? Don't you? It's just where you live for pleasure. Everything that feels good. There used to be a bumper sticker when I was a kid on the backs of a whole bunch of cars. It would say, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it. I haven't seen that one in a long time, but that's really a stupid way to live. That's just a stupid way to live. If it tastes good, eat it. People can really be stupid. No! Sometimes you just gotta say no! That's not a good way to live! Hedonism is no good way to live! Just live for pleasure, do anything you want, have fun, enjoy! There's a whole bunch of Hollywood celebrities that act that way, and they think it's just live it up, have as many women as you can have, live it, have as many new cars as you can have, just waste your money, enjoy, enjoy! I read the story about this guy that won the lottery, and he was like 50 or 60 years old, and he lived 8 more years, and he spent and spent and spent, and he almost spent it all, and then he died. And the object of the story was, man, what a way to go. Boy, did he have fun the last 8 years of his life. He won the lottery and he just spent it. Just live it up. That's hedonism. I bet you some of you are wishing that was you. That's not the way to live. That's not a good way. Some people believe in evolution. Well, we believe in science. Yeah, I believe in that. But let me tell you something. That really changes your thoughts. Because if you think we were just an accident, you don't think God made you and God gave you the life you have and that God fashioned this place you live in so that it would be welcoming to you and give you a place to breathe and to eat and to drink and everything that God's done. Boy, I don't understand how anybody can believe in that. But evolution will destroy your mind. You believe that? It will change the way you think. It messes you up. Hey kids, they're telling you that in school. They're telling you that they think they know. They're pretty sure that we just came from monkeys and it was all a big accident. But they don't know. And they are lying. There's plenty of proof that they are lying. They have no proof of that nonsense. And everything you check out, everything you investigate, every time you look into it, you say, how could this be? This has to be God. This was designed. You get out there in the driest desert and you get a cactus that's living out there and it spreads out and it's green. And if you chop into that cactus, it's sopping wet. You know why? Because of those spines. You say, what's that about? Those spines stick out in the atmosphere just enough, just far apart enough, just skinny enough, just porous enough. It sucks in the dew every day. Sucks in the dew. And you've got a plant that can live in the driest desert. You think that was an accident? Well, man, we weren't born yesterday. That's a design. Amen. That was designed. Somebody figured that out. Amen. And God made it so it would flourish in the desert. And if God can make that flourish in the desert, He can make you flourish wherever you are. Amen. In the worst circumstances, He can make your life good. Amen. He can make it better. Amen. He says, my way's better. Pay attention to me. Listen to me. It's nice of Christ to go to the trouble to tell us, hey, this way's better. Yeah. He could have just ignored us. Said, do whatever you want. That's the way I am a lot of times. I think, well, I'm doing this my way. You do anything you want. Leave me alone. That's the way I feel. But not Jesus. He said, no, you're going the wrong way. That's not a good way over there. That's not a good way. I'm glad somebody stand up and say, Marxism is pitiful. It's a junk philosophy. Evolution is stupid. Amen. It's not a scientific hypothesis. It's stupid. Amen. You were not an accident. You were created by God. Amen. The Bible says He created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. And the earth was without form and void. And so He did some maneuvering on this planet to make it work for you. And that's why you don't find it, the same thing anywhere else. You just don't find it. This was built specially for you. Those other philosophies, they're no good. They will mess you up. They will mess you up. Humanism. Atheism. Atheism has got to be the worst. The idea that you believe that there is no God. And you act like that's rational, that's reasonable. You think that's intelligent. Really? Do you know what atheists have to go to? They have to believe in the multiverse theories, which is like the stupidest thing that's ever been brought up. Multiverse. Is there any evidences of multiverses? No, there's none. It's just pure speculation. But why do they have to do that? Because they can't understand how it came to be. But if you're having a problem with the universe, then you got a problem with the multiverse. It's stupid. You don't get anywhere from here. There's nowhere to go when you become an atheist, when you decide, I'm not going to believe the Bible, I'm not going to believe in God, I'm not going to order my life according to God's word, I'm not going to do that, and then you live all those ways because of your atheism. It's stupid. And it doesn't end well. And when grandma dies, you got nothing to say to your kids.
Right.
It's like the worst. It's the worst philosophy ever. You know what Jesus says? My way's better.
Amen.
Well, you know what His way is, right? You read those chapters a little bit before, you find out He tells you to rejoice when men persecute you.
Yeah.
Why? He said, because that's the way they've been treating people who follow God all along. That's the way it is. Rejoice. You're in good company. That's what he said. Rejoice. He said, be faithful to your spouse till death. Hey, be faithful to your spouse till death. That was Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Not till you're tired of her. Not till the spark is gone. Till death. All your life, faithful. Sexually faithful. Emotionally faithful. Faithful to your wife, to your spouse, till death. Anything less than that, you're not following Jesus. He tells you to speak the truth. You won't need to swear, just tell the truth. You don't need to say, I promise, just tell the truth. Don't say, I swear, just tell the truth. That's Jesus. He's telling you just always tell the truth, always. It's amazing. He tells you to suffer wrong and do no wrong. Suffer wrong so that you don't do any wrong. Make sure you're the one that gets done wrong because there's a judge that's going to take care of things. He tells you not to avenge yourself. He tells you to love your enemies. He said, be good to them. You got enemies? Be good to them. That's what he told you to do. You know what he's saying? My way's better. I know your way. It's not like he didn't know your way. He saw how you guys live. He knows how it is. When somebody hits you in the face, you hit him right back. He knows that. He gets it. He understands. But he says, don't do that. It doesn't work. And boy, have I found that out. It's nice that he told me that because then when I did strike back, I realized, hey, he was right. This didn't solve anything. Yeah, yeah. This Jesus, he said to forgive. Whoever does you harm, forgive them. That's a better way. You could hate them forever. You could just be so full of bitterness and grudge and hate. You could just hate them forever. And it feels good for a little while, but after a while it eats away your soul. Jesus said, just forgive them. And you'd be amazed how you just have peace all of a sudden. He said, just forgive that. Don't exact everything. Just forgive. Just say, let it go. Be forbearing. That's what Jesus said to do. This is Jesus' way. He says, my way's better. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe his way is better? Let me tell you some of the most important things he said in those three chapters that we just finished up the conclusion of. He said, guard your heart. Pay attention to your heart. He says, watch out for the lust in your heart. Watch out for the anger in your heart. Clean up your heart. Why don't you pay attention to yourself? Don't be so judgmental of others. Pay attention to yourself. Get yourself straightened out. That's Jesus' teaching. Oh, that's a better way. He tells you to have no treasure on earth. No treasure on earth. Hey, by the way, how you doing on that? Jesus said it. If you're not sure, just read the chapters yourself. The three chapters, 5-7 of Matthew. Read them yourself and see if he didn't tell you to have no treasure on earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth. Where are you supposed to lay up yourself treasures? In heaven, he says. Put your treasures in heaven. Have no treasure on earth. Is it what you're seeking? Money? Is that what you're looking for? My good, I can't imagine any other reason to buy a lottery ticket. Because you want treasure on earth. Hey, Jesus says, stop it. Oh, he says, my way's better. He said to seek the kingdom of God first. What about putting God first? Amen. What about God? Just make God first. Tithe first.
Amen.
Pay your bills second.
Amen.
Jesus says, my way's better. Seek the kingdom of God first. And his righteousness. All that other stuff, it'll come. Don't worry about it. That's what he told you. He told you to be skeptical about claims. He says, beware of false prophets. They come telling you all kinds of things. Be skeptical. Somebody tells you you came from a monkey, be skeptical. Say, prove it. Say, prove it. And they can't prove it. They'll show you some bones of apes. They'll show you some bones of humans. Say, see? That doesn't prove anything. They don't have any proof. Be skeptical. He says, don't just believe whatever the prophets tell you. Be skeptical. He says, judge them by their fruits. Well, what are the fruits of evolution? Try socialism. Try racism. Hey, I'm not joking here. These are the fruits. Social Darwinism. Eugenics. Kill off the evil races. Kill off the inferior races. This is the fruits of them. Look at the fruits. What about Marxism? What's the fruits of Marxism? Poverty. Yeah, that's what it is. Oppression. Slavery. That's the effects. He says, be skeptical. That's what Jesus tells you. He says, my way is better. Then he says to have a relationship with God that is not revealed to others. Think about that. Make your relationship with God not dependent on anybody else. So you don't have to show anybody else anything. You just have a relationship with God that has no dependence on anybody else. It's just between you and God. You pray in secret. You fast and hide it. Nobody knows. It's just between you and God. Do you realize what a wonder that is? This is Jesus' teaching. How many people have their relationship with God all out in the open? And Jesus is telling you that's not the way to do it. You know what Jesus is saying? My way's better. If you would believe that, if you would believe that and give your life to Christ and say, Christ, I'm going to build my life on your wisdom. Amen. It'll make a difference in your life. Amen. It'll make you stop the drugs. It'll make you stop the running around. It'll make you stop the filthy mouth. Amen. It'll make you stop hungering after money. It'll make it all go away and you'll start having peace and your marriage will improve. Amen. Now you can't solve everybody else's problems, but boy, that would be a big help if you solved your problems. Amen. Jesus is saying, I got a better way. And he's telling you, build your life on my sayings. Build your life on what I'm teaching you, and your life will be a blessing. Amen. That's his promise. That's his claim. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord, I agree. And start living according to his prescriptions. I'm telling you, it's a better way. Amen. If you're not saved, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, you don't know what you're missing. It's the difference between a life that means something and a life that is meaningless. Right. It's a difference between heaven and hell. Jesus Christ is the only salvation. He's the only way for you to be right with God. I'm telling you, give your life to him. First thing you can, give your life to him. You're not sure how? Just talk to him. Talk to him. Tell him your sins. Tell him you want to be saved. And he'll save you.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I ask you to bless this congregation today. We got plans, Lord. We got food that we're going to be eating and rejoicing with each other in fellowship. I want you to bless the food to our bodies, Lord. Make it a blessing to us. And thank you for it. We know you provide everything. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, I ask you to touch their lives, change their hearts. You do it, Lord. And protect us, protect our children from the evil in this world.
Amen.
Give them the knowledge of your way. And let them thrive in this
Amen.
World. And then let them survive the death and the judgment. God, let them come have a relationship with you. I ask you to give them that. And do bless our plans, Lord. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We have a meal. You are welcome to stay. Even if you didn't bring anything, you stay. Be with us.